Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Hector with the Otaku Podcast. Welcome, welcome, and welcome. It is 11:30 p.m. It is still Friday, July 25th. I just got back home from the theaters to see the Fantastic Four First Steps with some friends of mine. And holy moly, what a movie. Marvel, I must admit, I was wrong. I thought y'all were going to flop with this next phase leading to Doomsday, and you haven't yet. Thunderbolts was a nice introduction, and then it transitioned to the Fantastic Four First Steps. And you know what? We can look forward to more things in the future with how it ended. And that's all I'll say because this is a spoiler-free review of the podcast, or the movie, rather, in the podcast. And, dude, let's get right into it. Fantastic Four First Steps. What did I enjoy about it? Well, there was a lot of things. For one, it was the chemistry of every character. What was nice about that chemistry was that we didn't see another introduction to the characters. We didn't see a backstory to the characters. We got a short little glimpse and a short little explanation that was probably at most 3 minutes about what happened to each character and how they got their abilities, but that was it. We didn't need to see it again and again and again. We already know what they were capable of, and so the movie was able to summarize that in a couple minutes for those who probably were not familiar with it. So it got right into it. Now, regarding the build-up to the action scenes, it was a little slower. And I didn't mind that too much because, for one, I don't like when action happens right away. I like a build-up to it. I like a momentum, you know, building up for it. And I just like how each step will progressively get more and more and more better up to that final climax. This movie was able to accomplish it. Now, for the first 35, 40 minutes or so, it was a bit slow in my opinion, because there was a lot of dialogue going through it as opposed to a lot of action scenes. But what I came to appreciate, you know, thinking about it on the way home, was to understand that these were setting up plots. These were setting up certain moments that will capture you emotionally. And this movie was able to do that. And, you know, speaking of their chemistry, we saw that throughout the first 35, 40 minutes. And then it built up to seeing Silver Surfer, and then Galactus, and then everything afterwards. And of course, I have to be very careful and censored of what I can give out here because this is a spoiler-free review of the movie. So I really enjoyed the chemistry with all four characters. And the way that they were able to perform their characters was very meaningful. Pedro Pascal was probably the only one that I was really concerned about. I wasn't sure how he was going to do as Reed Richards. But seeing how he was throughout the whole movie, he was a bit different. You know, he wasn't your spunky, nerdy, geeky Reed Richards who try to, you know, say little jokes here and there or try to be lighthearted. No, this was a little different. This version of Reed Richards was more grounded. He was more serious. And he pretty much wanted to get to business and get it done in the best way possible with minimum life loss, minimum damage loss, things like that. And so throughout that, in the whole movie, as far as his character goes, you know, he did step on some feet. He did rub some people the wrong way. But it was just his personality, though. You know, he's a thinker, a critical thinker. You know, he always thinks of different possibilities. And that's just the way the man is. He's a genius. So that's what we would expect of him, just with less jokes. And I was okay with that. Johnny, as you'll probably see in the movie, you know, as a spunky guy, the jokester, the hot guy, the one that acts like he's too good, he was more humble in this film. He wasn't as outgoing as he was, as, you know, we've seen in previous films. But this version of Johnny, he was more serious in a way where, you know, when it came to serious moments, he was serious about it. And the jokes were minimum. But it was little jokes here and there, especially how he was with Ben Grimm. It was pretty funny to see their interactions together. And you could tell they were best buddies. But it was also seeing, you know, him poking the bear, as it were, trying to get under the skin of Ben Grimm. Things like that. Especially trying to get Ben Grimm to say, "It's clobbering time!" That was horrible, so don't judge me. Also, I'm about a whiskey in, so calm yourselves down with the judgments. But dude, it was cool seeing that. So each character was grounded, they were emotional. And just seeing even the chemistry between Reed and Sue, you know, you could tell they loved each other. And most of the disagreements came from both of them. Because Reed is a genius, you know, he's a thinker first. But Sue is more of the emotional one, where she sees the emotional damage that these decisions can cost the whole team, pretty much the whole Earth, as you'll see in the film. And what I really like about the movie as well was the style of it. The style was awesome. You know, it was basically centered in a 1960s vibe, the sci-fi nostalgia. You know, it felt like the Jetsons in a way, but with Marvel. They were able to have futuristic things, but based in an old world, based in the 60s. It had that vibe, but obviously technology was advanced. And it was pretty cool seeing that from a different angle. It was cool seeing their Earth was depicted that way. And I really enjoyed it. What I also enjoyed was, for the most part, the Earth seemed at peace. They centered around these heroes that were saving the Earth, and they were at peace. And we've seen more of that throughout the movie when they came together to work together to figure out ways to stop Galactus. And it's a known fact that Galactus was coming to the Earth to destroy it. But he was after one person, and one person only. And that was Franklin Reed, as you learned. And obviously that is not a spoiler. I mean, that pretty much is the gist of it, of he was after Franklin Reed. Now, why? Well, let the movie answer that for you. What is the extent that Galactus went through to go after Reed? That is also for you to see for the movie. But seeing these different setups, it was awesome to see how it worked out. And you know, one thing that really impressed me was even seeing how true to the character that each actor portrayed. They did it their own unique way, but it worked out. But it also showed respect and homage to the ones that portrayed the characters prior. And so the directors and producers were able to paint that in a beautiful light. And I was really impressed with it. It felt fresh, it was different, but it worked. As mentioned, the build-up with the first 35 minutes was kind of slow because, you know, they're setting up the plot, they're setting up the different dynamics with the characters, but it still worked nonetheless, and I liked it. And to me, this film felt more like a drama in a sense. It didn't feel like your typical action-packed superhero vibe. It felt like more of a drama, but then those action-packed superhero vibes filled in the voids that were missing. And it worked in such an awesome way. Like, throughout the movie, I was geeking out in certain parts. And one thing that also impressed me as well was the visual effects. Some of the visuals were beautiful, man. Like, you see Silver Surfer and her capabilities. We've seen that to an extent. We've seen Johnny Storm, Johnny Storm, the way that he was able to go use his abilities, beautiful. Pedro Pascal using his abilities, gorgeous. Seeing Ben Grimm use his abilities as well, you know the character, awesome. It was awesome seeing all these actors in the way that they were able to portray these characters in their own special and unique way. And I greatly appreciated that about the movie. As mentioned, just like Thunderbolts, because obviously they're connected in a sense and it leads up to Doomsday, you know, they all had a unique sense. They all had their own unique vibes. It wasn't jokesters throughout the whole movie. There wasn't any weird little puns or cringe moments. At least, based on what I've seen, wasn't that bad. But it was still a lighthearted and fun way of expressing how each character feels. But it was grounded. It was nice. And then, you know, you think too, with the issue with Marvel, they had a lot of trouble with consistency, right? We've seen each movie that came out before Thunderbolts, how it was its own separate story, but they didn't really connect. You think about, for example, the Falcon and Winter Soldier, and then we saw the newest Captain America movie. Those two were pretty much the only ones that were connected. Think about WandaVision with the Doctor Strange movie that recently came out a couple years back. Those two felt like they were the only ones connected. But each movie didn't really follow the continuity in a way where, oh yeah, this connects to this. Oh yeah, this leads after that, and so forth, the big bad movie, you know, with the big bad guy. This new phase felt fresh. As mentioned, I really enjoyed Thunderbolts. Thunderbolts went up to my top three. And I mentioned the reason why, you know, vaguely, but it's because it was emotionally captivating. It tackled down real-life trauma that actual people like you and me can probably have. And it was able to bring it to light and explain it in a way where it was real. We connected with these characters. And as a result, we can find comfort in a source. Whether it be the people that we come to know and love or different higher power sources, as you learned. And this movie as well, it felt fresh. It felt unique. It felt awesome just to see how it all tied together. And the way that I describe this movie, you know, it gives that 60s vibes, as I mentioned. Think of it this way. The Jetsons meets Mad Men meets Kirby. The style of it, at least. It was cool seeing how all of those connected as far as those styles go. I really enjoyed it. Now, in regards to areas that I like to see improved in it, as mentioned, I felt like there were certain dialogues that were long and they dragged out where, you know, there were certain parts where it didn't really play into the plot. It was just there for filler and to try its best to emotionally capture you. I feel like some areas it did flop in a sense. But regardless of how few those errors were, the greatness of the movie in general was awesome. You know, you think about the origin story of the Fantastic Four. The movie didn't focus on their origins. The movie didn't focus on each and every unique character and how they got their capabilities. You know, it was a nice 2-3 minute breakdown that we've seen in the movie. And it wasn't even shown in the movie as far as like the actual scenes of how they got their capabilities. You know, a show host was the one that told us that. And he did it in a couple of minutes. So even those who aren't familiar with the background of each character or, you know, the abilities that they possess and how they got them, we still understood how they got them. And it was awesome to see that broken down in a short and simple way. 2 to 3 minutes of screen time of explanation. And that's all we needed. That origin story for each character was already established. And what helps with that is that it makes it more streamlined, accessible, meaning that it would even capture the casual viewers of the MCU that was once cluttered. This genre that the movie portrayed, as mentioned, felt more like a drama, you know? The genre felt like a drama, with the action coming second. But it all was nicely balanced. And this might be the most successful Fantastic Four film to date, because it was a reboot and it felt nice as a result of it. This is designed to be the launch pad of Phase 6, and you know, you can think of Thunderbolts as setting that launching pad. But then, you know, when you think about the Fantastic Four first steps, they actually did the launch. You got the launching pad and the actual launch. And we hope that it could be consistent from here. As mentioned, though, you know, with the errors that I've seen in the movie as far as long dragged out conversations or certain points to fill in the plots that felt a little rushed, one thing that I would have loved to see more of was Ben Grimm. And Ben Grimm, you know, finding his own identity. It seemed like he still struggled with being Ben Grimm, how he is now, you know, as the Thing. I felt like he had low self-esteem as a result. He was more of a depressed type of character. But when it came down to helping his friends and family and the world ultimately, he was locked and loaded and he was ready to go. It was cool to see that. What I also appreciated was Johnny and his character. Johnny came in clutch in certain parts of the movie that you'll see. But leading up to those clutch moments, the rest of the Fantastic Four crew turned him down. They second-guessed him and what he was capable of doing. But he was able to prove everybody wrong, which was nice to see that. Reed and Sue, obviously, your typical husband and wife, chemistry was plainly seen there. And it was nice to see that. The emotional weight. It was interesting to see the emotional weight that the movie portrayed. Because it really leaned heavily on the stakes of the world. And Silver Surfer brought that out. And this was an awesome Silver Surfer. She didn't have much screen time, but the screen time that she did have was epic because she was able to set the tone for the movie, but also really set the tone for the entire plot of the movie. And then it leads to Galactus. Dude. Ah, I hate the fact that this is a spoiler-free podcast episode here because I really can't say much on it. But I will tell you guys, seeing Galactus in the big screen and the way that he was portrayed in this movie, menacing, scary, dark. Like, you look at him and you're like, holy crap, what the heck is going on here? You know? It seemed like because of Silver Surfer and Galactus's appearance in the movie, it really made the movie more sober. And it was awesome to see it take a dark step down to something that Marvel doesn't really tap into. Like, this was one of the few villains that you think, like, holy crap, how are they going to beat him? What can they possibly come up with to defeat him? After he literally fed off multiple planets, as we all know in the comics, what he's capable of doing, I mean, power is almost limitless. So what could our heroes do to stop him? Well, you'll have to find out in the movie. CGI, the visuals. CGI was pretty wonky in some areas, and one of it did dealt with Franklin Reed. As you guys will probably see, it was one of the first scenes that he was in. But seeing how the CGI effects and different things like that improve with him, it was nice. Galactus and freaking Silver Surfer, the CGI effects and the visual effects, gorgeous. Galactus, as I mentioned, was menacing. And part of the reason why he appeared so menacing and the character portrayal was menacing was because the visual effects was on point. I really, really, really enjoyed it, man. And I might have to see it again because, you know, this gave me a different type of feel than what Superman was able to do. Superman made me feel good. Superman gave me hope. Superman made me feel positive. But seeing how Marvel now took a step, and seeing how Marvel finally got their acts together to fix the issues that they had before, the lack of continuity and the lack of consistency, and the lack of coming out with something great that wasn't rushed, this was awesome to see Fantastic Four first steps give out that impression. It wasn't as goofy in certain areas as Superman was. It was more grounded in a way where, yes, you did have silly moments, but it wasn't cringe or it wasn't forced. The movie was able to do it naturally. And it was consistent of how one led to another and so forth. I loved it so much. And I'm thankful to Marvel that it was able to accomplish that. Now, regarding Galactus, I want to really focus on him a little more as well. With Galactus, you know, he wasn't introduced or wasn't forced on us. You know, there was still, I would say about 20 to 20 minutes of screen time of Galactus. He wasn't the main focus of the entire movie because I felt like the movie was focusing more on the character development as far as the chemistry goes with each character and the Fantastic Four. And then seeing Silver Surfer make her appearance here and there, it was cool. Balance felt like a treat. Galactus felt like a beautiful dessert. Like, it didn't start off right away. His appearances and the power that he possesses wasn't shoved down our throat. It was well balanced in a way where, like a good dessert, you were able to take it in slow and enjoy it. And it was delicious as a result. Now, some of y'all are probably going to go south with that analogy, so calm yourself down. You know who you are. But yeah, man, he wasn't... Yeah, I really don't want to say too much because I feel like I'll spoil it by accident. But his whole presence basically reshapes the tone and scale of the film. And rather than over-explaining or rushing into battle, the film also lets his arrival feel like it added weight without clutter. And I really like how some critics compared Galactus' appearance. When we first saw Thanos in the MCU, before Infinity War, before Endgame, his appearances wasn't forced. It was expected, but it wasn't forced. Even though we had that expectation of seeing Galactus and his awesome power, it felt like it was still natural and it still preserved that mystery of what he was capable of. And this story here, uses Silver Surfer to channel Galactus's presence, to give a very grave warning of his presence. And it really added tension without overexposing the cosmic threat too early. Pacing was great. You had a near 2-hour runtime in total, which includes the post-credits scenes, which stay for the first one, because holy crap, incredible stuff is going to be happening in the future. But dude, awesome. I enjoyed it. So as a breakdown, y'all, the feature, as far as, you know, the takeaway, it was bold. It had that retro futuristic visual to it. And it probably will be one of the most distinct MCU films in years to come. The four leads are very strong, and all of them had that emotional weight that they carried over their shoulder. Galactus, treated as a cosmic myth, he elevates the story scale without overwhelming it. The tone of it, more serious, not as silly, but also you think about the way that it made you think about certain things as well. It really made you think of certain parts of the movie. And the character focus, as mentioned with Johnny and Ben, they were more thinner, but it was cool seeing their great moments, and it really helped to establish their characters. The balances of the movie, as mentioned, felt more like a drama than it did with your typical action-packed superhero movie. It was a nice family story, but with larger cosmic stakes, and it was mostly successful as a result. So, think about the final thoughts. It wasn't just a reboot to the team. It plants him in a universe that was big enough for Galactus. Now, while some character arcs sometimes get lost in the scale, the film's tone, and pretty much the vision that they were going for, it was the fact that its ambition gave Marvel's first family a new foundation to grow from. So you guys gotta let me know what you think of it in the comments, in TikTok, Instagram, and things like that. Awesome movie. Rating? Whew. I try not to be very generous with my ratings because I like to be realistic. You know, I'm very raw and honest with my thoughts, you know, opinions of the film and, you know, different directions I think they should go. So before I give the rating, I felt like what could have been done differently, as I mentioned, as a summary, was it should have gave Johnny more love. Johnny is a beloved character as it is. He should have gotten more love in the film from his team. Ben, you know, there wasn't really much focus on Ben. Ben felt like the muscle of the group, and he's also a genius, by the way. So, you know, he was able to use his critical thinking to save the team multiple times in the film. But I would like to see a more personal aspect of him. We've seen glimpses of that in the movie, but it was short-lived and nothing really developed from it. If you know what I mean, you know, you will understand. Got to see the movie to see those personal aspects and that personal build-up for him. But overall, I would say an 8.5 out of 10. Closer to the 9, so 8.7 out of 10. How about that? We'll go in between. Great, solid movie. I think it's even worth a second viewing because it is awesome. And, you know, there was also some Easter eggs in the film as well, which you had to pay very close attention to because it was pretty subtle and it was pretty quick. But yeah, man, you guys got to go see the movie. It was awesome. I think, honestly, I will need to reestablish my top 5 movie list for MCU. And I don't know. This might have been bumped up to the top 5. I think I will need to make the list again and really break down the reasons why. And I will need to do that in a future podcast episode. Maybe next one. I don't know just yet. We'll see. But yeah, that is my takeaway from the Fantastic Four First Steps. Now, as mentioned in my Instagram accounts, as mentioned in my TikTok account, and if you guys have me on Snapchat, which I usually keep for personal friends and family, if you've seen posts there, I have been really pretty much sharing a lot about a project that I'm working on. And that is a comic book series that's original. This comic book series has more of a DC feel to it than a Marvel feel to it. I've always liked a darker, you know, tone to comic books because I felt like the darker tones really showcase how realistic things can be And many of us can relate to a lot of those stories in DC Comics. So that's pretty much where I'm going with, you know, with the projects that I have coming up. This means that Remnant has a lot of future projects ahead of him. Remnant is a character that I created. And so with Remnant, I'll give you like a short backstory the backstory of him. Remnant really relates a lot to me. And that's pretty much how I made the character. Remnant was always the guy that put others ahead of him. You know, their needs, their wants, and all in between. Remnant was the guy that was always there. He was able to take the pain away of others, but he will hold it down to his heart so he would feel the pain so others would not feel the pain. You understand what I'm saying? And so Remnant didn't grow up with abuse. He grew up with abandonment. Not from his household per se, but from those he grew to love in the future. That would include friends, that would include some family, but that would also include mentors that were supposed to help him and teach him the right way to do things. He had a lot of abandonment issues from friends and those so-called mentors. And because of that, he felt lost. He felt forgotten. And because of that now, you know, he was able to move far away and start a new life. Kind of like what I did when I left California to move to Missouri. Start a new life, start fresh, and move forward. And things have been great. Now with Remnant, I haven't really got his official character name yet. Like as far as his real name goes, that's still in development. But we'll keep him as Remnant for now. You know, his real life person that he portrays, he works with social services. Exactly what I did. And the reason why he chose that field to work with is because he wanted to help those lost ones. The voice of the voiceless. The forgotten ones. Those who were left by themselves to fend for themselves, despite others saying that they will help them to do better. That's where Remnant comes to play in his line of work. He helps people. But obviously things have happened, as you'll read in the first series of the comic, or the first issue of the comic, I should say, in the series, you see that things have happened. More trauma, more emotions, and more pain. And that's how he became the Remnant. He is the voice of the voiceless. He wants to help those who are disadvantaged, that can't fend for themselves, that can't help themselves. And this even applies to adults. Sure, his focus is on helping young ones and children to escape horrible environments so he can save them in the future, you know, the long run rather. But he also helps adults who have the pain that he has. And we'll see different interactions with villains and criminals that he comes to meet. Some, unfortunately, will not change, but the ones that he does change, he sees some good in them still. And he's able to tap into that negative energy, take that negative energy, and use that as a source of his power. So that energy, that pain, that sorrow, that grief, that loss doesn't always remain in him, because he wants to let it out to help other people. And that means putting down criminals. That means putting down the villains and using that power that is mustered up by pain to take them down. There's a lot of heroes that are going to be coming into this series. There are a lot of heroes that will come and go, a lot of allies. Despite the fact that Remnant is apprehensive of having said allies because of his past issues and trauma, he eventually comes around, and there is some tension before he comes around, but he does. He will make sure of it. So, this first issue comes out today, July 26th. And I would like to release the next issue every 2 weeks. So the next issue will come out in 2 weeks from today, and so forth. This gives me 2 weeks to work on each project. And I will have to give credit where credit is due. And give me a second. I'm taking a sip of my drink. I will give credit where it's due. I got two friends who probably would like to remain nameless, but you guys know who you are. They really inspired me to create something because they use ChatGPT or GPT. Now, people are going to think, oh, you're freaking lazy. You use ChatGPT to make your stuff that's supposedly original? You didn't even do any work. Actually, I did. You know, in order for ChatGPT to work in the way that you want it to work, and even then, if you know, you know, it has failed many times leading up to this first this first issue here. It takes a lot of patience, a lot of redos, regenerations of images and stuff like that, alterations to stories that ChatGPT probably got wrong. I've done countless writings to make sure that this issue came out the way that I wanted it to. I've done countless and specific details that I had to add in order for this to work. Basically, the only thing that I didn't do was draw the darn characters. ChatGPT was able to do that, but only with my specific and clear direction. And I'm very critical of how things come out. So I would like to think that what you guys see on social media, excuse me, this is in regards to characters, the villains, the storytelling. I hope to think that you guys would appreciate that this is my best work. ChatGPT deserves credit where credit's due. The artwork is amazing, but it took a lot of patience and practice and trial and error to make sure that it came out the way it did. And I'm looking forward to the, you know, what's to come, man. Like, with the Remnant, I feel like the Remnant really understands a lot of people, especially some of my listeners that are going through things, trauma, things like that. Because the Remnant understands, and that's how he's able to utilize his powers, is to use your pain, your sorrow, your grief to help you. But if you're facing Remnant as an enemy and not an ally, he will use your pain, your loss, your grief, your sorrow, and everything in between against you. And he breaks you as a result. He's not a killer. In fact, that is his last resort, is killing. He is against killing. He doesn't believe in taking a life, but he doesn't think twice if he must. And that's only if the person is deemed, you know, unreconcilable. Like, you can't help him. So you have to think of the costs and the pain that Remnant may have if he has to kill somebody. But yeah, that's something that I'm looking forward to working on in the future months to come. The first biggest villain that Remnant will be facing, his name is Dominion. So yeah, I think honestly, like, these enemies and these villains are going to lead up to Dominion. And the way that I have it set out, it's going to be amazing. And I cannot wait for it. Good things to come. And guys, if you have any suggestions, you know, throw them out in the comments. Character ideas or character portrayals that you would like to see showcased, dude, go for it. Like, I'm all open. I'm always going to be open to hearing ideas because I feel like this is a collective effort. I can't always take all the credit. As mentioned, if it wasn't for my two friends that were working on this project for themselves and then I got involved with it, it wouldn't have happened. I never would have thought of using ChatGPT to make my work, or at least help make my work, or fill in all the blanks. Like, I'm really excited for this, and I'm, you know, ecstatic even talking about it now. So guys, if you're also able to show your support, I would greatly appreciate it. Just share the stuff. Just like the content. Save the content. And just show appreciation that way. Now, I know that I'm probably never going to have a large following where many people will see this work. And that's okay, because I want to do it for fun. I enjoy doing this. This is for fun. This is not getting involved with my priorities that I have, you know, as a minister or being with friends and family or things like that. That all comes first. And this project, even the podcast, comes second and third. Because I feel like if I force it to come first, I'm saying that word a lot, so y'all better calm down with that too, dirty minds. But if I force that to take priority, you know what I mean? It's not going to be fun anymore. It's going to feel like a chore, and I do not want that to happen. I would admit, I have failed in different projects. And here's the real talk now. Let me take another drink before I get too emotional here. because I feel like everybody needs to hear this, and this is a good life lesson. You guys have to understand, like, I portray myself as a happy person, you know, upbuilding person, which I always strive to be. What you see is what you get. I am authentic. I am as real as possible. Like, if you know me personally, like, I act the same way off the recording booth. This is me. And I feel like that's where Rebnik comes to play. You know, I've experienced a lot of fake people in my life, and I've seen it both face to face and even behind my back. And it's horrible. And that's kind of why I moved as well to start a new life, like Rebnik, facing a lot of people abandoned him, things like that. You know, he faced the same thing, and he was able to make something of it. So like myself, I was able to make all that trauma, all that abandonment into something great, I would think, to help people. And I always enjoy helping people. And I already said that in my first episode of the podcast, why I got the position for work. You know, what I'm doing now is to help people. Why I was in social services for the next amount of years, for helping people. I've always enjoyed it because I took the pain that I had of being abandoned, being lost, being forgotten, and everything in between away, because I'm able to use that to help other people and how I overcame it. That being said, with this support that I have or lack of it, it really doesn't bother me. You know, even if 10 people a month hear my podcast, even if I get 5 likes on my TikTok pages or Instagram pages, which is pretty much all I get now, even though I like to post some very quality content out there, it's fine. Like, I really do not care. And I feel like, you know, I feel like it's going to maintain my happiness when I do this for fun. You know, and I'm glad that you guys get to see what I really do, you know, on my off time, what I really enjoy in my off time. You know, when all business is aside, all my other priorities are aside for just a moment, and I get to do this, like, it adds that void that I've been missing. And I wish, and Jack, if you're hearing this, buddy, like, I wish I kept that with Neurology Podcast. That was the first podcast that I did, you know, starting in, what, was it 2020? I think it was 2019, 2020. You know, we started that podcast with that vision, first and foremost, but then it became a chore, and that was mostly because of me. I made it a chore. We were getting quite a large following at the time, and obviously they're all gone now, but I think that got to my head, and I wanted to keep doing work, and then it stopped being fun as a result. I don't want that to happen again. I don't want to make any project, you know, a chore again. That's why I failed in music. I used to spend so much time making original songs and using different friends to help me because I only could have done so much. And then I felt like they weren't enjoying it and they felt bad for me and they were helping me. And, you know, that's the vibe that I got. Then I got discouraged and stopped making music. But it was fun when it was at its peak. Just like Neurology Podcast, it was also fun when it was at its peak. I don't think Otaku is at its peak yet. Maybe this episode will kickstart that peak. But I want to continue just working on that and just building on it and making it fun. And that's my goal. So with all my reviews of movies that come out, because I'm a big nerd, and, you know, seeing the previews at the theaters, you know, movies to come, there's going to be some more episodes to work on, and I'm looking forward to that. Rebnik is here to stay for a while, I hope. So I hope to keep covering that as well. I probably won't do too much breakdowns on each series or issue because I really want you guys to read it for yourself. And maybe I will build on my content based on the feedback that I get. So if you guys want to give me some positive feedback or constructive criticism, please do so. I wouldn't mind that at all. I would really enjoy it. And I hope to maybe put something out there where you can donate. I will be, like I said, raw and honest with you. I pay $20 a month for ChatGPT. If I can get at least $20 a month in donations or contributions or what have you, like, that's awesome. That's going to fund the work. That's going to fund the hobby. And I will continue enjoying doing it. And I will be thankful to you guys if you can do it. Now, I'm not going to ask for donations every single episode. That's long and drawn, and I feel like that's ridiculous when people do that. If you guys want to help, the link will always be there at least, but I will not advertise it as often, obviously. I feel like that's wrong. Well, guys, I'm at the 40-minute mark, so I'm going to go ahead and end this podcast. But, you know, I hope you guys really enjoy my breakdown of Fantastic Four First Steps. Spoiler-free, I hope what I said, me being a nerd and a geek who is very critical of movies, who liked the movie overall, will encourage you to go see it, and you guys can enjoy it as well. I hope you guys will go ahead and enjoy that, you know, first issue of The Remnant. Broco Studios, I'm always going to keep Broco Studios no matter what. That's, you know, something near and dear to me. I hope you guys enjoy that first issue and the many issues to come afterwards. Guys, thank you so much for listening to my podcast. Thank you so much for all the encouraging words that you've been giving me these last couple weeks or so. And as always, thank you for joining me in the Otaku Podcast, where nerds collide.